How's that for a theme for your life? More and more about Jesus. More and more about Jesus. That's what I want. More and more about Jesus. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 6. More about Jesus means less about us. And I don't know about you, but with me, it's always too much about me. It's not enough about Jesus. We get so self-centered. But we try to get our minds back upon Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He has done for us. First and foremost, in causing us to be justified in the sight of God by what He did on the cross for us. We're all sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. We don't even come close. We need someone to save us because we were dead in sin. And because of what Christ did on the cross, dying in our place, the Holy Spirit comes and enlivens us, gives us life. We're born again. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God declares, "You are just in my sight." What an amazing declaration. Well, that was the first five chapters of Romans. Our need, how sinful we are, and what God did so that we could be justified in His sight. And as Romans 5 ended, it talked about how we used to be in Adam when we were first born. But being born again, we are now in Christ. Glory and praise to God for that. What a difference. What a difference. About our relationship with Christ came through the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read to you a quotation from Charles Spurgeon. And he said, "Man must be told that apart from Christ, they are dead, and that only the Holy Spirit can make them alive. And they need to be told that the Spirit works according to His own good pleasure, and that no man can claim His visitations or deserve His aid." And Spurgeon says, "This is thought to be very discouraging teaching." And so it is. But, he says, men need to be discouraged when they're seeking salvation in a wrong manner. They need to be put them out of their conceit of their own abilities. That's a great help toward bringing them to look out from themselves to another, to the Lord Jesus. And he said the doctrine of election and other great truths which declare that salvation is all of grace. And it's not the right of the creature. It's the sovereign Lord's gift to us. And it's all calculated to hide pride from man and prepare him to receive the mercy of God. That's what it's all about. You were dead. He made you alive. All glory to God alone. But now, how do we live? We have to live the same way, by the work of the Spirit in our lives. And by the grace of God at work, and we've been looking at this passage here that deals with our sanctification and who we are in Jesus Christ, now that we've become believers. And we started off in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Can we just continue in sin that grace may abound?" No, not at all. No, by no means. And the question comes back, how is it possible? How can we, who died to sin in Christ, how can we still live in it? He says, "Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into His death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And that's where we stopped last week. So now we go on from there. And we want to look at verses 6 through 11. So let me read those to you right now. And it starts off, we know. So the first question we're going to ask you is, do you really know this? The Apostle Paul says, as Christians, here's something we know. We know that our old self, our old man, was crucified with him, with Christ, in order that purpose, that the body of sin, that's what we live in, might be brought to nothing, so that, purpose again, that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Reasoning, verse 7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Verse 11. Exhortation. So, you also must do something. What is it? You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You must think this. I wonder how many of you have been contemplating that this week. As you've been going through your daily life, have you been thinking, you know what? I'm in Christ. I am dead to sin. And I am alive to God. What a glorious thought. Well, you know, if you haven't been thinking about that, you may be living what we call a defeated life. Because you're not thinking right. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to be transformed in our thinking, the scripture says later on here in Romans and in Ephesians. And yet in Christ, and in knowing Christ, Jesus himself said, we are set free. Are you experiencing it? With your holding your place there in Romans 6, I'm going to turn back to John 8 for just a moment and read you what Jesus said. Starting in verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we're offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. Boy, I don't know how they could have said that. The offspring of Abraham, they've never been enslaved to anyone? How is it that you say you'll become free? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. Our freedom in Christ is because the Son sets us free. And that's the basis of this passage here in Romans 6. And we would like to look at verses 6 to 11 now and look at three different things. And the first thing is this. What we need to know and think concerning ourselves. Then what we need to know and think concerning Christ. And then what we need to do. So verses 6 through 8. What do you need to know about yourself? If you are a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ, if you've been born again, these are truths about you. It's not necessarily what you've experienced, but it's truth. You need to accept it as truth. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with Christ. Was crucified. Aorist tense. Aorist passive, something that happened to us. We didn't do it. It's what happened to us. It's what, when God created new life in us by the work of the Holy Spirit and regeneration in the new birth, that's what happened. Our old self was crucified with Christ. It was done to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we are to know. We know this as Christians. Our old self was crucified with Christ. This is an essential truth. You need to be reminded of this. You need to think about this. You need to remember this. When Christ died, I died with him. I was crucified with him. This is my old self. This is my old man. This is what I was in Adam. And if you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer in Adam. Remember that. You are now in Christ. It's a whole new relationship. We're now a new man. As it said back up in verse 4, that we might walk in newness of life. We're supposed to have a new life now. But notice here in verse 6, it says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that. Now, if you didn't understand that, that's what we call a purpose clause. Okay? There's a purpose why we died with Christ. It's that this body of sin might be brought to nothing. This body of sin, this body, the sphere in which we live, which sin reigns and death reigns in us. Now, sin is a principle, an influence. Our body didn't have to have sin. Jesus had a body and it didn't have any sin. Adam had a body. He didn't have any sin at the beginning. But all of us since Adam are in Adam and we have sin. Sin living within us. We're sinful. But it says here that we died with Christ, we were crucified with him, that this body of sin might be, quote, according to the English Standard Version, be brought to nothing. Now that's an interesting word. Brought to nothing. Katargao. The King James translates it, be destroyed. The New King James translates it to be done away with, in the sense of rendered inoperative. The NIV, done away with in the sense of made powerless. The Amplified translates it's made ineffective and inactive for evil. Others translate it disannulled, rendered inert, rendered ineffective, inoperative, put out of action. All those words could be a translation of this. The word means to be entirely idle, to be rendered useless, to be abolished, to cease, to become of no effect, to vanish. The word is used in Romans 7, 2, of a wife whose husband died. And so that relationship is now gone. It's over. Okay? And so now that woman is free to marry another because there's no relationship there anymore. Now, for us as Christians, there's always a relationship. We remember the one that died. Another illustration is 1 Corinthians 6:13, where it talks about food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But when you're dead, what's good is your stomach? Now, I don't think that any of you have ever worked as a mortician and had to do an autopsy on a dead body. And all God's people said, amen to that. But if you were to cut a dead body open, you would find that there's still a stomach there. But it's been rendered useless. It's of no effect. It does nothing. You can't put any food in the mouth and get it down to the stomach anymore. That's the picture that of the same word here that our old self was crucified with him that our body of sin might be brought to nothing. The same word is used in 1 Corinthians 11 where it says, when I became a man, I did away with childish things. That might not be quite as good an illustration because too many people haven't done that. But that's the picture, okay? You're supposed to put away childish things when you get older. You're supposed to mature. And that's the picture here, that our body of sin has been done away with. It's rendered ineffective. And here's the purpose. Again, another purpose. It goes on from there. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So the purpose of our crucifixion with Christ is that we would have a body of sin that no longer has a relationship with sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer under its authority. We're no longer under its rule. And we need to know this. We need to think this. We need to be reminded of this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So Lloyd-Jones translates it this way. Knowing this, that our old man, our old humanity, it was crucified with Christ, that this is one of the results and purposes that this hold of sin upon us, even in the body, might be rendered null and void, inoperative. That's the way it's supposed to be. Verse 7 continues with further reasoning. It starts with the word for. It could be translated because. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now that's a pretty simple statement, isn't it? If you think of a person that has died, do they sin anymore? No. That's one of the reasons why we can look forward to death. We won't sin anymore. We'll be saved from the presence of sin. That's a glorious thing that's coming for us as believers. We're looking forward to it. When a person dies, he's set free from sin. This should be simple to know and understand. This is obvious. When a person dies, they're freed from sin. So then, verse 8 continues the reasoning. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Here's an interesting point. As a Christian, when you die, you're still alive. Right? To be absent from the body, the apostle said, is presence with the Lord. Okay? So, someday I'm going to leave this body. I'm going to be present with the Lord. This week, Billy Graham left his body. Got kind of worn out after 99 years. Now he's gone into be the presence of the Lord. He'll never sin again. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. Again, that's very straightforward. When you're dead to one thing, you're alive to something else. This is something that happened in the past. We have died with Christ. But then it says, now, if we have died with Christ, and we have, we believe that we'll also live with him. But this is talking about the fact that our death in Christ was a spiritual death, and now we're alive spiritually, even living in this body of sin that has been rendered inoperative, brought to nothing. It says we believe. You notice we believe that we will. That's future. But it's a certainty at the same time. To believe here, the mean means to be well aware of, to be sure of, to be persuaded of, to be certain of. We believe that we will, yet it's already a present experience. Now, it's going to be a future experience as well. It's going to continue. In fact, it's going to get better because we're going to finally leave this actual body. But even now, we are alive. We were dead in sin, Ephesians 2:1-3. But God made us alive together with Christ. And now we are alive right now. It's interesting. All the believers here, you're a true believer in Christ, you are alive. If you're not a true believer in Christ, you're here, but you are dead. Right now, you are dead. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. You're under the condemnation of God. And you need to cry out to God to have mercy on your soul and to save you from your sin. And only by the grace of God will it happen. But we have been made alive in Christ right now. The apostle talks about this also in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live right now. I live. But then he says, but it's not really me. It's Christ living in me. So the very fact that I have new life, it's a life that is Christ in me. That's my life. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the proposition is we have died with Christ to sin. We have risen with him also to an entirely new life. It's in an entirely new realm which has nothing to do with sin. We're finished with the realm, the authority, the rule of sin. And if you continue to sin, it's because either you're not a true believer or you're just listening to an old boss telling you to do things that you don't need to do anymore. Which we all do, unfortunately. But that's what we need to know about ourselves. But then we come to verses 9 and 10, and we find out, well, what do I need to know about Christ? Now, it's begun here, but in verse 9 it says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Okay? This is something that we all need to be reminded of. We need to know this. We know this. This is truth. Christ was, since he's been raised from the dead, he'll never die again. Contemplate that for a moment. Jesus Christ died. He's raised from the dead. He'll never die again. In the Old Testament, there were some people who died, who were raised from the dead, and they died again. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus died in the tomb 4 days. By now he must stink. Jesus raised him from the dead. And Lazarus died again. Wow. Jesus raised some others, and they had to die again. But Jesus died. He rose again from the dead, but it says here, he will never die again. Why? Well, back in verse 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the power, the glorious might of the power of God, so we might too walk in newness of life. God was raising Christ by his glorious power. That's a reminder of Romans 4:25. It says he was delivered up for our trespasses and he was raised for our justification. That means God was satisfied with Christ's death and raised him back up. In fact, Jesus proves that he is God because he raised himself up at the same time. He is God. He says, I lay down my life, nobody takes it from me, and I raise it up again. That's what he did. So there's no reason then for Christ to die again. We die because we live in a body of sin. And even though it's been rendered inoperative, it still has those old effects upon us. But someday when we leave it, we're going to be in the presence of God forever. That's what Jesus did. And so death no longer has dominion over Christ. Hebrews 2:14 says, he destroyed the one who had the power of death. Therefore, as we know, death no longer has a sting for Christians. Really, it's just a simple falling asleep and leaving the body and going to be in the presence of the Lord. So death no longer has dominion over him. He's dead to sin. It's a once for all thing. The death he died to sin once for all, it says in verse 10. The death he died to sin, But the life he lives to God. So Christ died to the realm, the rule, the reign of sin, and conquered it, so it had no more power over him, and so it will have no more power over us. When we die, we'll go right to be with the Lord. And even now, we have this new life. We're now living beings. Remember this now. Remember this. We were dead. We were dead living in a body. And now we're alive living in a body. But the life that we have is really Jesus Christ in us. This is our new life. You need to remind yourselves. We know these things. These are facts. We don't always necessarily experience them as we should. But these are facts, these are truths that we need to believe and follow. And Jesus Christ is now living exclusively in the realm of God, and this is to be true of us. Think about when Jesus came. He entered the realm of sin and death. He came voluntarily, as I said. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was tempted in every point, just like we are, yet without sin. He grieved in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he was going to die in our place. And he went to the cross. He took our penalty. He was separated from the Father, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he gave up his spirit, was taken down, buried, and on the third day rose to new life, the power of God's Spirit in him. Working. So in the resurrection, he now has new life. In Revelation 1:18, which Justin took us through last week, it says, Jesus spoke and said, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. How exciting. Jesus said, I died, but I'm alive forevermore. Never to die again. So we need to realize, we need to understand, we need to know the truth about ourselves, we need to know the truth about Jesus Christ, and then we need to turn this knowledge into freedom. Verse 11. This is the application. First there's doctrine, then there's application. You read through Ephesians, there's three chapters of doctrine. Then it says, therefore, here's what you need to do. Colossians, there's two chapters of doctrine. Then chapter three, therefore, here's what you do. So there's always this doctrine, this teaching. You need to understand these things, and now you need to put them into application. First, there's the indicative. Then there's the imperative for you English teachers. First there's the instruction, then there's the exhortation. And so he says, so you also must. Get that word? So you also must. Oh, what am I going to do? Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. To consider means to think. It means to reckon, to consider as true. We've received this truth about who we are and what Christ has done for us, and we now must lay hold of it and live it. This is the exhortation that's the response of this whole first section from 1 through 10. So remember this. What is true of Christ is then true of us. Because we're believers in Christ. We've been transformed. We are to consider these things. This is not necessarily experimental at the moment. It's a thinking, a reckoning. It's going to lead to other things that we're doing, but for now it's a matter of thinking. We're going to go on next week and see some specifics about doing. But the first thing is to consider yourself, I am dead to sin. Did you think that this last week? I am dead to sin. Whoops, I just sinned. Lord, forgive me. Help me to think about what I am. Help me to act in accordance with who I am. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to the relationship to sin. I'm died to the realm, the rule, the reign of sin. Sin is not to have dominion over me anymore. I'm to think this. And this is not a matter of mind over matter. This is the truth of Scripture that Jesus says, you know the truth, it sets you free. The reason that you don't act the right way is because you don't think the right things. The reason your computer program doesn't work right is because there's been a corruption in the program. How often has it been? You're on your computer, your laptop, your tablet, your phone. Something isn't going right. And you say, what's wrong with this thing? Well, there's nothing wrong with it usually. It's a matter of you pushed the wrong button somewhere. It's just doing exactly what it was programmed to do. Or as we used to say, G-I-G-O, right? Garbage in, garbage out, for all you programmers. I used to program. I got garbage out because I put garbage in and it didn't work right. That's why I'm preaching today. I'm not programming. It's a lot easier. I can just see what God says is true and I can speak it forth. There you go. And so we're to consider ourselves. We're to think it, that we're dead to sin. And it's physical death. There's no sting. We don't have to worry about physical death anymore. Yeah, we're going to die, but that's not a big deal. It's just leaving the body and going to be with the Lord. Now, dying might be something different. But death is no problem. Sometimes dying can be difficult. But death is no problem. But we're living for the Lord. And so, we're dead to sin. We're to think this. And we are to think, I am alive to God in Jesus Christ. I have this new life. And again, it's not yet talking about any experience. It's just talking about a fact that you are to believe because it's true. If I tell you that 2 plus 2 is 4, that's a fact and you ought to believe it. You say, but I'm not sure if that could be really true. Of course, there's sometimes you get into some higher mathematics and you could talk to David about some of these things and you say, well, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, well, that's because you have no understanding of this higher math. I remember that feeling in advanced calculus when I decided I didn't want to be a math teacher anymore. Okay. Getting beyond me a little here, okay? Are you sure this is true? Trying to find... No, we won't even go into that. But to realize that we are alive to God in Christ. We've changed spheres. We were in Adam, now we're in Christ. Believe it. And be open to all the blessings of God that come to believers. Now, there's common grace that comes to all. God causes His sun to shine on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Lord, we need rain on the righteous and unrighteous here in California. Please send some. Help us to confess our sin. But you see, what we're realizing here is that we have a new relationship with God. The new relationship is, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. And even if you sin, you don't lose the relationship. Remember that. I'm a son. I have a father and I have a mother. When I did something wrong, they were not happy with me. They would punish me. They would chastise me. But I was still their son. And they loved me. That's the truth of our relationship with God. We're supposed to realize who we are, how we're supposed to live, but sometimes we get things wrong. We haven't perfectly matured yet, and God has to chastise us. But we need to realize the relationship will never end. God sets us free and He will help us to overcome. And we should have a renewed sense of joy. Realizing what we are in Christ, that we are more than conquerors in Christ. We're overcomers. Or as Jesus said in the upper room, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Or happy are you if you do them. And so you're to know them and you're to do them. So just stop and think about the fact that I'm in Christ. Okay, I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God in Christ. What blessings has God promised to me? Well, in 2 Peter 1, all that pertains to life and godliness. All that pertains to life and godliness. Romans 8:28, God's constantly working all things for good. He's moving us toward holiness. Ephesians 1:4. We have a unity, a oneness with Christ. He strengthens us to accomplish all that is needed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. According to John 6:35, I need never hunger or thirst again. I am filled with overflowing with spiritual blessings from God in Jesus Christ. I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because I am in Christ. I have the work of the Holy Spirit in me so that it is true what it says in Philippians 2, that I'm supposed to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, but it's God who is at work within me accomplishing it. Praise God. And we have the certainty of our salvation because it says that being confident of this very thing, that He who began the good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. You ever found God to be a liar? I haven't. So believe the truth and let the right thinking begin. Let's pray. Oh, Father, that we might have the mind of Christ, that we might think what is right and true. We've still got so much more Scripture to get into our minds so that the truth will continue to set us free. It's a work of Your Spirit in our hearts and lives, and we praise You and thank You that You are working, that You will continue to work, and You will accomplish Your good purposes in our lives, and we praise You. But Father, help us to learn to think the right way. Help us to be transformed in the renewing of our mind, day by day, being in the Scriptures, being in prayer, communicating with You, having fellowship and oneness with You and growing in the grace of the Lord. Help us, Lord. We praise You. We give You thanks, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.